You are back with the conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. The Queen Liliuokalani Trust owns some 6,000 acres, most on the Big Island. Its mission is to serve orphan or indigent children, mainly Native Hawaiian keiki. Today, HBR's Ku'uwe Hiraishi joins us to talk about the Trust's new strategy to leverage its assets and to expand its services. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. You were on point with the pronunciation there for the birthday girl, Queen Liliuokalani. Yeah, recent changes at the Ali'i Trust that were put in place by trustees recently by Hawaii's last reigning monarch is sort of creating this confusion in the community, and we'll dive deeper into that in a moment. But for folks who might not be aware, as you have mentioned, Queen Liliuokalani did leave nearly her entire estate to Native Hawaiian orphaned and disadvantaged Kamali'i or youth. And for almost more than 100 years now, the trust has been serving those vulnerable communities through social services, and really has become a model here in Hawaii for culturally, not just culturally appropriate interventions, but culturally based and aina-based programming to really engage these youth. And this is in the tradition of trust matriarchs like Auntie Malia Craver. And beginning in 2015, trustees wanted to reassess how they were doing and look really to the long-term perpetual trust role that they see. And part of that was to really look at the data and the research about where the needs are for Native Hawaiian children. Nale Akina, who is the vice president for the trust and chief of programming there, explains to us what that data looks like.
So Native Hawaiian children, as a lot of folks know, are overrepresented in state systems, including juvenile justice, foster care, and homelessness. In fact, I think our most recent child welfare services report indicated that almost half of the foster care system were comprised of Native Hawaiian children, and the rates are similarly high within the juvenile justice system, with Native Hawaiian youth being disproportionately overrepresented in both detention and probation. And then, 31% of our homeless population is Native Hawaiian. So we know that as a trust, we do have a kuleana to evolve our services to adapt to the changing needs of our most vulnerable kamali'i over time.
So that brings us back to some of that confusion going on in the community right now. So part of this expansion really in services, the trust in the last 5 years has purchased more than $26 million in land outside of what it already owns, because it saw needs in communities like Kapolei, for example, where there's a growing need for services and a strong Native Hawaiian community base. And so these areas like juvenile justice, foster care, and homelessness were particular areas that the trust really wanted to use their resources to support. And part, on the other end of that, they had decided as well to consolidate services and close two sites here on Oahu. These were long known service sites for social services in Punalu'u, the Haleaha, and then here in town, many may be familiar, in Kapalama off of Halona Street, is sort of their Honolulu unit hub. Those sites, as of yesterday, have closed, and about 8 staff members were laid off at both sites, and another 6 who were working were transitioned and encouraged to apply at other sites. And all of this, a little bit of it was COVID-inspired as well. Everyone's really struggling to figure out how to best serve their constituents or their communities when you can't have social gatherings. And these hubs in Punalu'u and in Honolulu were really areas where communities and children could come and gather and have services and have social gatherings, and that's not happening right now. So they're moving a lot of their programming and material online.
So these closures, they're temporary or permanent?
They are permanent in terms of the services, and the there are other kipuka or services nearby that beneficiaries can go and go ahead and use. But for a lot, in the community, I think they just felt a little blindsided. Some in the community were blindsided by the closures. The lands, as far as the trust is concerned, they haven't decided on whether they will be selling or leasing them out. Ideally, they want to lease them out to nonprofits or organizations that can still serve that particular community. And so I think that uncertainty over what's happened and not hearing about it for some really caused that confusion. But as we saw today in the Star Advertiser, we did see the opening of Lydia's House, which was a new acquirement. Like we had mentioned, that $26 million in new property that they had purchased. Queen Liliʻokalani Trust opened a building in downtown Honolulu to use as a youth service center. For folks, either youth getting into trouble with the juvenile system or homeless who really need a place to stay. These are parts of that expansion that we were talking about. But the way that I guess the community had responded to it was one of shock. And so we asked Nale Akina to really explain, you know, what went behind that decision to close those two kipuka.
You know, Haleaha and our Honolulu Kipuka have held a very special place in so many of our lives over the years. And, you know, for us to strategically make these kinds of decisions are obviously difficult decisions and not easy. It has resulted in elimination of some positions as we transition to the new service delivery model and also plan for expansion in reaching our most vulnerable where they are. Not all of our employees were laid off, and many of those colleagues were able to stay on and mm-hmm. find new positions in, you know, the other areas of work that we're doing.
So we did hear from Gwen Kim. She's a retired social worker who worked at the Queen Liliʻokalani Trust, my goodness, for more than 30 years. And Kim was sort of the impetus for my finding out about this, because she had posted on social media that, you know, all this was going on and we weren't consulted. And so looking into that, we got to hear from Kim and her concerns.
In the past, when I was there, yeah. there was regular feedback. We were yeah. in the communities. We had many different groups and we feedback. Okay. So yeah. this. Not once has the public been asked. Okay. That's why people are shocked.
So that, I think she sums it up well. I should say that 3 years ago in 2017, the trust did gather Native Hawaiian leaders, or leaders from the Native Hawaiian community, also from other ali'i trusts like Kamehameha Schools, to really sit down and reassess what the trust was going to do into the future. So there was that consultation, at least, but for beneficiaries and for long-time supporters of the trust, I think, still a little shocked there, but we will delve into that more tomorrow.
Okay, and just so I understand, so the children that they serve, basically it's up to 18 years?
It was up to 18. It was expanded earlier this year to include a youth up to the age of 26 to really provide that continuum of services. And that's the expansion, yeah, we
wow.
were talking about.
Okay, so they're really trying to expand the reach and provide more services to a needy community.
And in the long term, too, right? Not just today, but make sure that everything's positioned for the future long term of the trust.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. We have been talking to HPR's Kuʻuwehi Hiraishi about the Liliʻokalani Trust and its strategy for meeting and expanding its mission to serve Native Hawaiians. You can read her stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.